You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. We are back with another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast. This is our special mini edition for the summer, BWTG, Bonus Wells Tech Goodness, episode 83, to be released Monday, July 13th, 2009. Joining me as usual, Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. I'm ready to talk about image editing this morning.
Not just any kind of image editing, but specific to the web, which a lot of our listeners I know are interested in, web image editing. Many of our listeners are responsible for their congregation or school's website, and a big part of websites today is the images on them. In fact, if you don't have images on your website, you probably need to get with the program.
That's right, and a real common mistake that people make is what I might call blowing out the image, putting images that are too large on their website. You know, it's great to have large images for print purposes, but for the web, you really want to resize them, make them crop to fit your needs and to communicate whatever message it is you're trying to communicate with that image.
So if you've got that special image that you like, there's chances are that it's not the right shape, dimension, or focal point for the space that you'd like to put it on the web. So as a result, you need tools. And of course, there are tools, which is the focus of the episode today, to allow you to very easily and inexpensively make that fit exactly your needs on your web page.
That's right. I love that inexpensive part. My favorite price tag is free.
Yep.
This is in the cloud computing we're talking today, web-based services. So nothing to download, nothing to install on your local computer. It's all done on the web and really simple, kind of dead easy to do. So
yep,
my kind of thing.
So if that's really your needs, I mean, in essence, if you're not doing a lot of high-end graphic manipulation, those kinds of things, if you're just trying to crop and resize and do some touch-ups of web images, absolutely do not buy, you know, an Adobe Photoshop or really any other tool, because these online image editors, I think, will fit the bill exactly. So let's talk a little bit about the photos that you can put on. And before we jump into the step-by-steps of picking an editor and how to use some of them, where do you get images in the first place? Obviously, one source is the pictures that you take. And I've been, Sally, I don't know about you, but I've been to a lot of church and school websites that don't have the greatest photography.
Yeah, I think that you want to invest in something that's going to reflect well on your congregation or school. So just throwing up any old picture, whether it's blurry or, you know, not well done, is not going to speak well of the mission that you're trying to convey there on your on your website.
So I'd recommend a couple things. First of all, if your congregation or somebody in it doesn't have a higher end or at least a prosumer type camera, if all you've got are point and shoots, I would suggest maybe looking at using an SLR. Digital SLRs today are coming down in price. You have the ability to add different lenses to them. They do much better with lighting. All of those will improve your ability to put good stuff, good quality images on your website. There are, and we live in a world today where there are just an absolute ton of web resources to help you learn how to use those cameras, with apertures and f-stops and lens types and how to take those from your camera and get them onto the computer and so on and so forth. In fact, we had a conversation not too long ago with Lori Ashbrenner, who is a Wells photographer, who provided some good tips for beginning SLR users.
That's right, Martin. You were just reading my mind. You're stealing my training thunder. But I love it when we can learn online, and there are great resources. And we'll make sure and include a link in these show notes back to Lori's interview and the resources that she recommended for learning online.
And if you don't take your own photos, or if you're not happy with the product or the result of your photography, there's just a ton of stock photography out there that might fit the bill as well, especially if you're in a kind of an outreach mode. It really doesn't matter if, you know, some of the photos aren't exactly of people within your congregation. If you're just trying to express a theme or a topic, there's all kinds of stock photography out there. One of my favorite sites is istockphoto.com. For as little as a buck an image, you can find excellent, excellent photos that you can put on your website, just perfectly suitable for many types of scenarios.
Yeah, I have several favorites as well. You know, you want to be extra careful that you're giving proper credit if you're using photos that you're taking from the web or whatever, that you either purchased them or you're giving the credit that they require in order to use those kind of photos, especially when you're putting them on your public website.
Right, right. All kinds of issues there, copyright. But with these iStock photo type sites, you basically buy that permission and you really don't even have to list it on the site. So lots of options. So with all that in our back pocket, how do we edit these images? Even with stock photography, maybe there's some things that you want to crop out or resize or scale. And as you mentioned, Sally, we want to get these to a reasonable size so that download times don't increase and people are just waiting and waiting and waiting for your page to download because you put oversized images on your site, and we see that all the time. We've got a step-by-step for you to all the way from picking an editor to doing that resize and doing that image editing. And this will obviously be on the Wells Tech Wiki site. We've got three steps, and I would suggest that the first step that you should take is obviously pick the right online editor for you. There are a bunch of them, but fortunately some folks have done some hard work for us and tried to ferret out all the pretenders and put together the five contenders maybe for our attention. And that was a Lifehacker article I stumbled across not too long ago that talked about the five best online image editors according to a survey that they did of their readers. And that survey showed that the top five, at least in their readers' minds, are something called Sumo Paint, which I have no experience with, Adobe Photoshop Express, which I have used and we've talked about on the show. In fact, I think that was a pick of mine a while back. Pixlr, which I also have experience with and we've talked about on the show. Picnic, P-I-C-N-I-K, which we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about because that's the one that we use most often. And then something that's been coming up a lot in some of our conversations and our Wells Tech listeners have brought to our attention, Aviary, or it's called Aviary Phoenix. I think it's the same thing. Good stuff there as well. So first step you would take is to go through those, and I would suggest you try them all out because they're all free and they're all fairly easy to use. You don't have to read a manual to get going with them. There's typically an upload photo function, an edit function, and a save function. So I would pick a sample image and try and run it through each one and see which one meets your needs, your most typical needs.
Right. And some of them have offshoot kind of pluses and minuses that go along with them. For instance, that Aviary product has a real neat thing where if you put in aviary.com/a web address, it'll take a screenshot of whatever website you you type in there. So if aviary.com/wellstech.wells.net will give you a screenshot of the current homepage on the Wells Tech site. And it is a really powerful function. Mm-hmm. And they even have a little Firefox plugin called Talon that'll allow you to just push a button and do that without typing out the URL in that format. So, you know, maybe they all do the same basic functions, but maybe there's some extra add-ins that you'll enjoy as you try out the different editors.
And speaking of add-ins, all of these have a basic free version, which I think meets most of the needs of most of the people most of the time. But most of them also offer a premium version or a paid version, and it's typically, you know, $25 a year or something like that. And So take a look at, they usually have a comparison chart of what you get when you pay the extra money to get the premium version. Now, Sally, you, I think, have a premium version of one of these products, right?
That's right. I'm a picnic fan, and I just recently participated in a picnic contest and was a winner in a 3-month premium account on picnic. So I'm playing with some of the advanced picnic functions these days and enjoying it very much. And I did a demo in our church computer adult ed class that I'm running on Tuesday nights this summer of Picnic, and the response was just overwhelming. Everybody loves it and loves how easy and straightforward it is.
What were some of those bonus features that you got with the premium subscription? Do you remember?
Sure. Actually, as you work through the editor, you'll actually see the premium thing integrated with the editor. So let's say you're doing different frames or different photo effects and things like that.
Right.
You get the basics. You can turn it into black and white or sepia tones, or, you know, do some image editing with the basic functionality. But with the premium account, you get a lot more fun things to play with. Basically.
Typically, you'll get more storage. Maybe you'll get some batch processing, those kinds of things, plus some more cooler effects that you might want to use. So be sure to look at those as you're doing your online editor review. So spend a little bit of time picking the right editor for you. You want to make an investment in your time, you know, going forward, because you may potentially run a lot of images through this. So you want to be comfortable with the product that you pick, and you don't want to be switching back and forth. The second step then would just be to do the basics. Do an upload of an image and do some editing, or do a download. So that's typically how these work. So you go to the site, since they're all in the cloud, so to speak. Let's say Picnic, for instance. So you go to picnic.com. There's a little Get Started Now button, and right on the home screen. You don't even have to log in, so it doesn't require a username or password. Then there's an Upload a Photo button right in the center of the screen. You can't miss it. A little dialog box opens up that you pick an image from your local desktop or network or wherever those starter images are that you'd like to work with. And then you immediately go, at least in Picnic's case, to the Edit tab. There's a bunch of tabs across the top. The photo appears, and you have all kinds of editing controls at your command. Once you're done with your edits, then there's a Share and Save tab at the far right. It asks you where you want to save it. And one nice thing about Picnic is you can save in a bunch of different formats, GIF, PNG, JPEG, and it tells you what each of those are good for. I think they also have TIFF and a few others, depending on your use. And you have a little slider bar that determines the quality of the image. And one of the reasons to run images through a Picnic-like application is to get the file size down. So I think rule of thumb is you never want any image larger than, I don't know what you would you say, Sally, 25K. Never anything above that. The smaller, the better, because that's your page is going to load quicker.
That's right. For posting on the web, obviously, anything that's part of your web page has to download to the viewer's
browser, right?
So, yeah, you want to make sure you keep those images real lightweight.
Yep. So you save the photo, it comes down to your computer, and then you have an image that's ready to upload, or FTP, or however it is that you get images to your particular website. This tutorial will not cover that. For Final Web, it's very easy. There's a button there. Most online web hosting solutions have an easy way to get photos up there, or to swap them out or delete them or whatever it is that you want to do.
And I guess I want to just put a plug in here, Martin, for Picnic in particular. There's also other ways to share the photo online. So if you want to keep the photo in the cloud, let's say you're developing a Flickr page with all of your congregational photos, or you want to send it over to Facebook or whatever, it's super easy to do there. And if you create a Picnic account, a free account, you can connect with those photo libraries and grab photos from those sources as well.
Yep. So there's a whole, almost every Web 2.0 application has some kind of social component to it at this point.
And
none of these are any different. Yep. And then finally, step three, we talk a little bit on the website about editing that image. And two of the big things that you're going to want to do with almost every image is do a resize or a crop, and both of those happen on the Edit tab in Picnic, for example. So to crop your image, you simply hit the crop button and a little grid pops up with four little bubbles on each corner of the grid. You can drag those. And another nice thing about the grid is you have it in quadrants. So you have almost like a tic-tac-toe grid that shows up there. And that's so that you can make use of what's called the law of thirds. That's a photography term where you want to have the focal point of the image on one of those thirds, typically the upper third, rather than somebody's head absolutely dead center in the middle of the photo. Good photographers suggest that you put that head, that focal point, on the first third, you know, of the photo. So it makes it very easy to figure out how to do that. So it helps you, you know, do good photography, as it were. So that's the crop feature. So that'll crop out the unnecessary stuff. And then you also have a resize feature. So if you have a photo that is, let's say, 1,500 pixels wide by 2,000 pixels high, you have the ability to get that down to a reasonable size. Most web browsers now you're going to design for are probably, you know, there's a lot of debate on this, 800 by 600 or 1024 by 768. So obviously something that's 1,500 pixels wide is going to exceed the size of somebody's typical browser. So you want to get that down to a reasonable size. Maybe that's 100 pixels wide or 200 pixels wide. It'll all depend on what size area you have to work with and where you want to put that photo on the web page. You click the resize button, it does it, and basically you're done.
Yeah, I was just going to say 150 is my magic number. That's what I use for our images that we put on our Wells Tech podcast page when I put interviewees images and things. It's just a nice size. It's not dominating the page, but it's still viewable for our website visitors.
Yep, absolutely. So pick those editors, give them a try, and there's all kinds of resources for almost all of these that we've just talked about. There are YouTube videos. I know there's a great one for Picnic, and if you're a SmartBoard user, there's a whole video tutorial of sorts on YouTube called Picnic Photo Editor and the SmartBoard, how the two work together and how you can resize images for use on the SmartBoard. So for you educators out there, that may be something that you would look for. So there's all kinds of ministry applications here in the classroom, not just on the website, but in promotional materials, bulletins, you know, all kinds of things. Images are just the way to go at this point.
That's right. Thanks for all your work on that, Martin. I think even if our listeners maybe are a little image savvy, this is great material to share with volunteers in the congregation who are working on the website or working on those various things like newsletters and things. Good stuff. Good basic information. Yep.
So that'll be a wrap on our episode 83 of BWTG. We will be back later this week with a full episode of the Wells Tech podcast, and then hopefully back again next week with another BWTG episode. Do we know what that is yet, Sally?
Well, you put me on the spot there, Martin. I think we're going to look at some cool applications of Delicious, which is a social bookmarking site, next week.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Sally, as usual.
Yep. Have a great day.
Okay. Bye-bye.